Well, good morning, everybody. Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live a Monday morning after a brutal, heartbreaking loss in overtime to the Indianapolis Colts. The Packers basically giving this game away with four turnovers, key breakdowns at the worst possible time, and the offense deciding not to show up for the majority of the second half. Other than that, I have to say, as I said on Twitter a little bit ago, I'm actually more encouraged by what I saw out of this game in a loss than I was what I saw out of a win against the Jaguars last week. There are certainly areas of concern and or places, challenges Packers need to clean up and or rise to, but this team can beat anybody. This team just put up 31 points on the best defense in football. If they don't turn the ball over, they win this game. It's pretty simple. So I understand the sky is falling mentality. This 24-hour news cycle we live in, get it out of your system today and get ready because it's Bears week and it's time to welcome the Bears to Lambeau Field and then wipe that field with that team. Good to see everybody in the comments. Hello and thank you for joining this fine morning. I already got a bunch of super chats to get to, so let's do that, shall we? Legless One, thank you for the super chat. 31 points with four turnovers against the number one D. Can't expect to win. F the Bears, damn fibs. That is very well said, Legless. Chris, thank you for the super chat. What, if anything, does Packers PR do against a reporter that asks an asinine question? Do they just quietly freeze him out? I believe you're talking about Mark Daniels' question about how can you live with MVS. I won't go into it too much here. As far as what Packers PR can do, I mean, they're not going to revoke his credential for asking a dumb question. If that were the case, there'd be no one left on the beat. But I do think they possibly kind of continue to monitor outlets if they seemingly don't know how to be professional, which that question certainly was not. But yeah, in the short term, nothing. What else we got here? Tough loss, but the defensive coach has got to go. Lloyd, if he was going to go, he would have been gone already. I suspect he'll stick around for the rest of the year. Now watch. There'll be breaking news later this afternoon that Mike Pettine has been fired, but I don't expect that. You know, LaFleur had the perfect opportunity after the NFC Championship game to make that move, and he didn't. So pretty much stuck with Pettine for the year, at least, I would suspect. Justin, thanks for the super chat. How is Pettine still employed? Has entered the chat. Yeah, no doubt. I think we're going to see a lot of that this week. There's no doubt about it. Joshua, now there you go. Now here's a true question. What's the issue with the running game? Seems to have stalled a few weeks. I very much agree, Josh, and it's interesting because not a lot has been made of it because, you know, especially after yesterday, they put up a bunch of points. But yeah, they're not able to get much going on the ground. And for an offense that wants to run everything through the run game, wants to, you know, work play action off of it, get, you know, linebackers and safeties to flow to the wrong spot, et cetera, and be able to take advantage of them. The number one thing I've seen, and is in the zone scheme, the zone running scheme that they're, you know, obviously that's their bread and butter, they cannot get the backside either walled off, contained, or just open enough for the back to take advantage. So many times we've seen them flow to one side or the other, and Jones try to hit a cutback, but there's a crashing safety or a linebacker coming down the backside that closes it off. I think a lot of that is because teams are not stacking the box in a traditional sense, but you know, they want to play up and they want to be aggressive. And I do think that's a big reason you saw so many rollouts from Rodgers early in that game. We saw Aaron with a bootleg, I think like six or seven times in the first half. I think a lot of that was because they expect the Colts and other teams to flow and crash hard on the run game. But all of that said, there comes a point where you've got to be able to run the football, and the Packers have had real issues there in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if maybe they need to mix in some more angle blocks, some more power stuff. You did see a counter that went for a really good gain. Maybe they need to mix in more of that type of stuff, because right now the zone is really just not providing results, so to speak. Yeah, Elgton Jenkins better make first team all pro. Dude is so freaking good. No, I agree. But the question is, at what position? You could be anywhere. No, but I agree. Most likely a guard, obviously. And yes, he should absolutely 1,000% be in that conversation. J.K. Scott's not getting enough blame for putting our defense in tough situations. You clearly don't watch the live stream because we talk about it after every punt. But yeah, no doubt about it. He has not punted well these last couple weeks. And I understand he had things going on in his personal life on Saturday, arrived late on Sunday. You punt, you play, you walk on the field between those white lines, you are judged accordingly. And right now his output is not good enough, not even close. I do think the defense, for all the kind of hand-wringing and how we will undoubtedly pick them apart all week, they were put in some tough positions. And do not forget that the Packers offense and special teams, but the defense was on the field after two initial turnovers and allowed 0 points. That's pretty damn good. You know, I'm not absolving the defense of their issues. They certainly have a lot to work on. But the fact that they were even in this game after two turnovers is a credit to the defense. Love me some bootleg. Yeah, me too. The defense was on the field for the entire second half, essentially, yeah, because the offense couldn't get a first fucking down. Get Darius Shepherd off of kickoff and punt return. Here's the thing with Shepherd. I have tried. I have been patient. Everybody knows I am the guy who says, let them develop. It's time to move on from Darius Shepherd. I am 100%, ready to say, look, I wanted to let him develop. I thought I understood what the Packers were doing there, but there is in no way, shape, or form a reason he should continue to be on the team. It's time for Malik Taylor and others to start stepping up because Shepherd, while knows the system, knows the checks, knows where to be down in and down out, more often than not, he is going to let you down and has let them down. He's been given ample opportunities to prove what he can do and come up short 2 years in a row. But the Detroit game last year, yesterday's game, that fumble is inexcusable. Not to mention he gives you precious little from scrimmage. It is time for other people to play. No doubt about it. MVS had a good game yesterday, just a mistake at the wrong time. Tyler, 1,000% correct. Everyone talking about the fumble costing them the game. There is so much blame to go around. It is a total team loss. Yes, MVS fumbling at the end is absolutely brutal. It drives a stake through your heart as a fan. But it's not why they lost that game. They're only in that position because of MVS and that amazing catch he has at the end of regulation to put them in position. It just kills me to see people going after this kid. I understand it's frustrating, but whether it's drawing the defensive pass interference, whether it's the big catch, his blocking both in the run game and the wide receiver screens was absolutely outstanding, including one that got into into the end zone. It just blows my mind that people will take this one play and just hold it against him for anything more than a moment after a game when you're frustrated. That I get. But looking at the stuff online, it's just appalling. Mitchell, thank you for the super chat. I feel like they could have afforded to not spike the ball and get one more shot at the end zone before the field goal. Thoughts? Ooh, my favorite. Totally agree. This offense, their operation when it comes to hurry up and or up tempo is absolutely abysmal. And I don't know why you're spiking it when you've got ample opportunities and time to just go. Rodgers wasting the timeout after the big play just killed me. Just run up there. If that's a time to spike it, run up the 50 yards, spike the ball, regather, call a play, and save that timeout so you can utilize the entirety of the field. But yeah, whether it's that or whether it's the end of the first half, the sequence there where Rodgers literally runs off 40 fucking seconds to gain a yard just blows my mind. I don't know what they're doing when it comes to anything having to do with the managing of the clock in tempo situations. Bakhtiari, beer chugs, thanks for the super chat. Packers fans are quick to forget there was a moment when Adams dropped a wide open TD to win the game against Chicago in 2015, aka don't give up on MVS. You saw James Jones reference last night. He tweeted it after MVS said he was getting a death threat, or a number of death threats. James Jones said, I've been there, man. Devontae retweeted and said, I've been there, man. All these guys who have to put up with this bullshit from this fucking fan base. And I understand it's not all fans. I understand it happens every city in the NFL. Packers fans, we want to pride ourselves on being different and better. I mean, A, of course we're not, because there's idiots in every fan base. But B, I hope everyone calls out anybody they see doing this bullshit to these guys. But yes, Bakhtiari Beers Chugs, no question about it. Devontae went through a rough period. James Jones went through a rough period. And I'm not sitting here telling you that MVS is going to be those guys. I don't doubt for a moment he will. He's kind of destined to be a up and down player who gives you great stuff and then hurts you at times. But this idea that he can't continue to try to improve day in and day out and is cast in stone, just absolutely ridiculous. Nick Pettine has to go. Packers fans act like Eagles fans. Yikes. Thoughts on the lack of pressure on the QB and soft coverage in the secondary every game. Corey, that's the thing. You saw stretches where they didn't. They sacked the quarterback and they got after the QB and they hit the quarterback. But then you see third and 13 where they're playing 15 yards off and I want to jump out a window. It's the inconsistency that kills you. Because you've seen they can do it. So why, when the game is on the line on third and 19, are you playing 20 yards off? Every team knows. You face the Packers, they give you soft coverage, throw it underneath because you know they can't tackle. I mean, that has been written in stone since week 3. So, thoughts on it? I have no thoughts. I've said all I can say. This is who they are. Pettine's never changing. They got to outscore everybody, and they got to not turn the ball over. They don't turn the ball over yesterday, they win. That's the key. That's the path to victory for the Packers week in and week out. No question about it. The percentage of Pettine is done after this year, Scott, I have no idea. It's all Twitter BS. There is a lot of Twitter BS. Duncan, thank you for the super chat. Not expecting a silver bullet, but how do the Pack improve special teams? Seems like a consistent weakness besides Crosby. Duncan, you get what you emphasize, and I have to suspect that LaFleur will sit down and or needs to sit down and devote more time to special teams because right now, they are abysmal. Whether it's the punting unit, whether it's coverage, whether it's returns, it has been hard to watch these last couple weeks. And I understand the guys are up from the practice squad and you've got new guys in every week, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Every team deals with that. Every single one. So, enough of the excuses. You've got to get what you emphasize. You need to emphasize your special teams. However, if that more meetings, more practice time, what have you. But that's got to happen. I was so buzzed by the Pettine hire at the time. It hurts when you still want to believe. James, I loved the Pettine hire when it happened. I was here living in New York when he was the coordinator for the Jets, and he did great work. I thought he did good work in Buffalo. But, man, it has been hard to watch over the last year and a half. This just flat-out refusal to dictate to the offense, especially considering the personnel you have, is just mind-blowing to me. Lewis, we need a punter. I tend to agree. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Who is the D-bag that asked about how LaFleur lives with MVS? And can Cheesehead TV or Aunt Gert get his credentials? Well, Dustin, here's the thing. I had someone last night tweeting about, Cheesehead TV can't get credentials. I've been credentialed all year. Do you hear Aaron Rodgers? Yes, last week? Cheesehead TV got a shout out? I mean, I've been credentialed now. We've been credentialed this whole season. So that's not a thing. But as far as your question about who asked that question, it was Mark Daniels. Is a radio guy in Green Bay, appears on Cover 2 with Rob Domofsky and Jason Wilde. I will have more to say during this week's episode of Packer Transplants, so make sure you check that out on Wednesday. Brenton, thanks for the super chat. Why was Preston Smith in coverage on Burton's TD? Because it was a man call, and that was his man. Taysom Hill for punter. There you go. Scott, this team could be 5-5. It could be undefeated. Ifs and buts were wings and nuts, we'd all be flying for Christmas or something. They can beat anybody. They can also be beat by anybody, especially when they turn the ball over. I mean, hypotheticals don't mean a whole hell of a lot. Justin, thank you for the super chat. I think the issue is Aaron in a hurry up. He's been lackadaisical for years now, and it seems nobody can get him out of it. I did go kind of crazy on the watch party yesterday. I mean, at some point, don't you got to knock the surfer dude out of this guy? Hey, man. All right, cool. First down. What? Play clock? Don't worry about it. Well, that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's killing me. It's absolutely killing me. But I guess he is who he is. Chad, thanks for the super sticker. Gary should start over Preston. Yes. it's been time for a while now. What else we got here? Oh, Dave, you guys can rip on whoever you want on the beat. I'm not going to fall for it. I save my critiques for how this team is covered and how the firmament of the Packer blogosphere gestates from week to week for Packer transplants. So make sure you're checking that out Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Aaron is so zen. Zen's one way to go about it. That's one way to say it. Dustin, thanks again for the super chat. Preston and Kirksey both got burned by wide receiver tight ends for TDs with no apparent help over the top. Is that a scheme issue? Not so much a scheme issue as, you know, they took advantage of guys who probably aren't as athletic as they need to be for what they're being asked to do. It's partly scheme, but, you know, teams work tirelessly hours upon hours to get those matchups. You know, there were also times when you saw good matchups in favor of the Packers, but no one talks about, oh, is that a scheme issue? Like, the scheme in and of itself is sound. It's how you utilize it and call it. And I just think the Packers have been way too passive. As for Kirksey, I'll tell you what, man, I thought Kirksey did not have a great game yesterday. He certainly seems a bit slower than I would have expected just from the eye test. Maybe he's working back from the injury, but the sooner they get Kamal Martin out there, the better in my eyes. What else we got? William, thanks for the super chat. Agree to disagree on bringing in a wide receiver in the offseason, but come on, most of the rookie wide receivers are contributing on their team. Depth is always key. That's a winding road right there, William. All I know is they didn't draft one and they didn't bring one in. They brought Funchess in, but he opted out, and they still scored 31 points on the best defense in football. You can rationalize it all you want and say, oh, they need the depth and they should have drafted somewhere they couldn't have, blah, blah, blah. One guy's on the COVID list that they did draft, the second round pick. The third round pick blew out his ACL on a special teams play, but looked promising in week one prior to his first injury. And Jordan Love is the future. I'm fine with the draft class. I'm fine that they brought in Funchess to augment what they were doing, but he opted out because it's COVID world that we're living in. I mean, this whole fucking thing about should have drafted or should have brought in a wide receiver is so ESPN talking head bullshit. You want to be dumbed down and live in the land of the ignorant. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But God damn, you just watched that game and you're like, should have drafted or brought in a wide receiver. Good God, people, wake up. Rodgers stuck on Devontae the last play and had someone open. Yep. Mr. Nags, if you please. Thank you, Richard. Are you limited on asking questions to the coaches? No. In fact, I kind of pride myself on the fact that I'm one of the few who actually asks tougher questions and or questions that are not just rah-rah, talk a bit about, etc. Sean, thanks for the super chat. How involved is LaFleur with the defense? I mean, not very. I asked him almost that specific question this past week. You know, and he said, you know, while he is involved, he leaves it up to Pettine and company. That is their area of expertise. Maybe he needs to be more involved. What does that look like? I don't know. But that, speaking of being limited in asking questions, I will be asking LaFleur something akin to this later this afternoon. Want to talk about draft picks? How about Jenkins? Justin, it's funny. No one wants to talk about the phenomenal draft picks. They just want to bitch about who they didn't draft. Never mind that Jenkins has now played all but one position along the offensive line and done so absolutely amazingly. But no, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to bitch about not having wide receivers. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. I am more confident in Green Bay wide receivers now. You should be. 100%. No question. Nikishay, thanks for the super sticker. Do you think the Packers should trade away Preston Smith for a draft pick? Well, Billy, it's after the draft, the trade deadline, so they can't. In the offseason, no one's going to take him. No one wants that contract. Maybe they restructure his deal. We'll see. Ask LaFleur about punting. I will. How soon will Lazard's snap count go up? Walter, I think it'll be intermittent throughout the next couple games. You did see him, you know, sparingly yesterday, but it was good to see him back out there. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see EQ get a few more snaps. He certainly seemed like he was ready to play yesterday. Loved that end around. That was great. Runyon was a great pick. Runyon was a fine pick. He acquitted himself really, really well yesterday, sliding in at guard when Jenkins moved to center. No doubt about it. Scott Enders with a bit of a manifesto here. Why doesn't Raven Green play more? He makes plays all the time. Well, it's part of their, you know, rotation. I thought he played well yesterday. He got taken advantage of once or twice, but for the most part, I'm with you, man. The more he is out there, the better they are. Stanley, thank you for the super chat. John Renner Jr. is a good draft pick this year. Yes. Yes, he is. EQ looked good. He did in green. Hey, congrats, Nagler. Your quarantine is over. That's right. Today, I am free to probably just stay in my apartment anyway. But I can actually go to the grocery store, so that'll be exciting. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking some Packers. Each and every day here at Packers Daily, we are here for you, Packers fans worldwide. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. And if you're so inclined, consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. It does help support everything we do with the website, the videos, the brand in general. If you can't totally understand, just hit like, hit subscribe, and tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.